The other day, I was preaching for our son Dave, who's pastoring in Texas. And as you know, he's pastoring the same church that I pastored before I came here. And Dave drove me just a few minutes around Garland to see a few of the places that are most uppermost in my memory. And as we were driving by, Dave said, "Dad, I was born, we lived in this a house here on this street." He said, "Which one was it?" And I showed him 1909 Stratford Street, a little two-bedroom brick house. And so we drove down Stratford, and I showed him where Mrs. Stevens used to live, and on Sussex Street. And then we drove down a little hill and came to what's Garland Road. Garland Road would compare with Indianapolis Boulevard here, a very busy road, and especially Indianapolis Boulevard out after it's south of the Ridge Road toward Highland and on the way to Cherville. And I said, "Doc," I said, "right there one night when Becky was just a little girl, about two, she was sitting in the back seat of the car. We're coming down Garland Road. We turned right onto Sussex to drive about a block up to the house. And as we turned right, Becky, alone in the back seat, hit the handle that opens the car door. It was not locked. And Becky fell out. We were probably going 30 miles an hour. She fell out. If she had fallen under the car, the wheels of our car would have run over and killed her. We did not know if she was dead or alive. We got out of the car, rushed her to the doctor's office, and spent much of the night having examinations. And miraculously, Becky only had a small concussion. That's all she had. I'll come back to that in a minute. How glibly we pass over certain passages of Scripture. We read a while ago the words, the ransomed of the Lord. Ransom, that means a price was paid. How glibly we pass over such statements as our Lord made when he said, "It is finished." How glibly we pass over the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "You're not your own, you're bought with a price." This morning, very soberly, and I think somewhat quietly for most of the message, and without humor, without much dynamics, I plan to tell you something of the price of our ransom. The ransomed of the Lord. The ransomed of the Lord. The first installment for our ransom, the first payment made, was made in the Garden of Eden. When God saw that man had sinned, and that with that sin, man had pulled down the entire human race under a curse. And God immediately said in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, that someday the seed of woman would bruise the head of the serpent. But more than that, that head of the serpent would someday bruise the heel of the seed of woman. God was saying, someday there's going to be a Calvary. Someday there's going to be a cross. Are you listening? Someday there's going to be the payment in full. And that moment when God, in his own heart, gave his only begotten Son in a public announcement of Scripture, God made to man his first payment of the ransom for our souls. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. I have a song I love to sing. Since I have been redeemed. Now, redeemed, the price, redeeming price, the ransom price. The payment was made in the first place when God the Father made a public
announced it to man that he would give his son. And that means when God killed that first animal in Genesis chapter 3 and brought to Adam and Eve the coats of skins that covered their nakedness, when the jugular vein of that animal was slashed by God himself, and God saw that animal breathing its last breath and the blood gushing from the animal's body, God saw more than an animal. He saw someday his only begotten son, the Lamb of God. He saw that lamb. And when God took that coat of skins to Adam and Eve, the heart of God was broken, because God realized that that little lamb that was offered as a substitute for Adam and Eve, but pictured the offering of his own son thousands of years later. When Abel brought that first lamb to the sacrifice, when Cain and Abel came to worship on the Sabbath day, and Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, Abel brought of the first things of his flock. When the jugular vein of that lamb was slain or pierced by Abel, when God saw that blood gushing forth, God looked down and said, one day my son will have his jugular vein broken. And one day my son, as meekly as that little lamb is going to the altar, one day my son will die, and I will look from heaven and see my son bearing the sins of all the world. When he saw Abraham offer Isaac, when those 3 days and 3 nights were passing, when Isaac was walking toward Mount Moriah with his son, or Abraham with his son Isaac, and when Isaac was going to be offered as a sacrifice, God himself looked down in the future and saw those 3 days and 3 nights where his lovely son would be in the grave. And God was paying to us the first payment for our ransom. When every Passover lamb bleated its last sound, and when the lamb, hundreds and thousands of Passover lambs, were offered on the Passover night, when that Passover angel came through during the night and took the firstborn in every home, when God saw every little lamb that was pierced and killed, the heart of God was pierced, because God knew that lamb was not the final lamb. God knew his own son would someday become the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. God was paying our ransom. When the altar was built for the tabernacle, when each lamb was offered on an altar, when each bullock gave his life, and each bird fluttered its wings for the last time, when Elijah prayed down fire on the altar in Mount Carmel, when Elijah prayed that fire down and consumed the sacrifice, God said, every sacrifice pictures my son, and every lamb pictures my son, and every drop of blood that flows from the sacrifice of a wounded animal pictures this blood that someday shall flow from the son, the side of my son, and the nails pierced at hands and feet of my son. God, when the priests were ordained, and a little blood was taken and placed on the right ear of the priest, and a little blood was placed on the right, the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot, God saw that precious blood of his son. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When God saw that blood as it was placed on the right, over the right ear, and the thumb of the right hand, and the toe of the right foot, I believe the heart of God flinched a bit, and God frowned a bit as God realized the offering that was made for that blood that is shed was a type of the offering of his own dear son. When the leper was cleansed, when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, when Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, when John the Baptist cried, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Every time God looked and saw a symbol of the great eternal sacrifice of his son, God was making an installment for our ransom. I remember that night that I wondered if Becky would make it through the night. I often drive by a hospital out here in Dyer Mercy Hospital, coming from the airport sometimes on Wednesday. I'm going to speak at the college. Brother Larry will drive me by on the way. I look at Dyer Mercy Hospital, and I think of 20 years ago when little 4-year-old Linda, or 21 years ago,
little four-year-old Linda lay between life and death there. I know some people in this room this morning who are watching a child wilt away. I know some people in this room this morning whose child has leukemia. Unless a miracle takes place, they know what's going to happen. They know the inevitable. And they're waiting for the inevitable day when the last little bit of breath is breathed. That child, that little heart beats for the last time. Can you imagine the great heart of deity as it looked down and saw the lambs dying and knowing that someday he with whom the Father had fellowshipped in all eternity, someday he would have to suffer the death of a cruel cross and the death of a common criminal. The second installment was paid in Bethlehem. I don't think Bethlehem gets enough attention in our vocabulary, in our minds. In one moment from heaven to the straw came the Savior. The first night away from heaven spent in an outhouse. In 1 hour, exchanging a robe from heaven for the burlap cover. In 1 hour, from the light of glory to the darkness of a barn. From omnipotence to a babe's dependence. From Hosanna to a baby's cry. From golden streets to a muddy path. From monarch of eternity to the obedience of flesh. While you're looking at Calvary and while you're seeing the Savior die on the cross and while you thank God for the payment of our sins, don't forget that time when God the Father waved goodbye to His precious Son. Don't forget that time when the Son said goodbye to the Father and left it, that which is eternal, and went to that which was temporal, and left the holy streets and the holy gates of the holy city, and came to be a little baby in a manger. God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, becoming flesh. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He was rich, became poor, that we through His poverty might become rich. Let me tell you something, folks. Midst our laughter and our amens and our rejoicing and our praises of God and our stories and funny stories, there ought to be times like this when God's people gather around and somebody just stops and says, let me tell you the price that was paid. I hear a Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in thee thine all in all. Sing it. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He was. This morning I'm not using any humor. I'm not telling any jokes. I'm gathering you around to say Jesus paid it all. And one of the great parts of that payment was when God became flesh. He who was rich became poor. He who was perfect became sin. He who was God became man. And there in Bethlehem's manger, the second installment was paid on our ransom. The next payment was made on a cavern-filled mount. For 40 days He's not eaten. For 40 nights, no food is entered into His stomach. Satan comes to Him and says, see these stones? See these stones? And our Lord says, yes, I see them. And Satan says, you're hungry. For 40 days and 40 nights you've not eaten. He says, make those stones into bread and eat your fill. But Jesus knew that was not the will of God for His life. He knew that was not the purpose for which He came. Twas not now Jesus shall rise and shine. This is not the coronation day. That'll come later. This is the crucifixion day. And our Lord refuses. Satan takes Him a half day's journey. And this is something most folks stop and think. Satan took Him to the pinnacle of the temple. The pinnacle of the temple was a half day's journey from the Mount of Temptation. He took Him a half day's journey to the pinnacle of the temple. And he took Him up to the pinnacle, looked out and saw the grain fields and the olive groves and the great vineyards and the forests and the streams and the cattle and the valleys and villages and cities. And Satan said, jump off! Jump off! And here it is. Here is the Son of God with whom the Father had fellowship from eternity past. And He knows He can jump off and angels will take it. But here He is, yielding Himself, as it were, to the devil himself. Why? Because He was paying the penalty, the price for your sin and mine. The devil says, now, I have a present to give you.
He said, bow your head to me. Just bow your head to me. I'll give you Asia Minor. You don't want, if you want more, I'll give you China. You want more? I'll give you England. You want more? I'll give you America. He said, just bow your head one time.
And there was the Savior, tempted of Satan. Jesus looked out and saw America. He knew he made America. He looked out and saw the trees that he had made himself and the mountains and valleys and the gorges carved by his own dear saber. Looked out and saw all that it made. And Jesus resisted. Why? Because Jesus knew he had to withstand the temptation. If Jesus had yielded to one temptation of the devil, you and I would have no hope for eternity. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. The old account was settled long ago. The next installment was paid in a synagogue in Nazareth. You know, there's always something about your home church. The other night I was standing over here in the hallway. I walked out. I had an appointment. I walked out to see one of the security guards, and down the hall walked the fellow. I said, I believe that's John Vineyard, Jim Vineyard's son. Looked up and it's John Vineyard, and I was so glad to see John. And John talked about the old home place and how it looked, and how that downtown looked, and about the building across the street. You wonder how long we had it. And I could tell a twinkle in John's eye. He was glad to be home, see the old home place. And now the Lord Jesus comes home. He's been reared in the synagogue. He memorized the scripture in that synagogue of Nazareth. He used to chant the Psalms in that synagogue of Nazareth. He used to learn all about the living in the synagogue of Nazareth. And now he comes home as his preacher boy. I remember when my pastor, Brother Sizemore, called me when I was in college. And he said, son, I want you to come preach for me on Sunday. I'm going to be on vacation. I want you to preach for me. And I remember walking in the pulpit of my preacher and standing for the first time behind the pulpit of the Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas. And I remember after I got through, all those old fat ladies came by and slobbered all over me. I'll never forget that. Said, Jack, I took care of you years ago. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Blah, 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 blah. And none of the pretty thin ones did it. All the fat, ugly ones did it. But anyway, I remember and how proud they seemed to be. I remember that Sunday morning. The church used to have 4 or 5 conversions a Sunday. Remember that Sunday morning we had 10 conversions, the most the church had had in a long time. And I remember how happy the folks were. And I remember that my pastor called me again and said, Jack, he said, I want you to come for revival and preach a series, a week's revival for me. And I remember how when I stood behind the pulpit and preached a revival meeting in my home church and how proud they were. And Jesus went back to his home church. His synagogue. He'd been there for 30 years. Everybody knew him. He'd sat as a child in the nursery and as a beginner boy and a primary boy and a junior boy and a junior high boy and a high school boy. Now he's gone off. He's been baptized of John in Jordan. He's been tempted to the devil on the Mount of Temptation. And now he comes to start his earthly ministry. I wonder where he'll choose to preach his first sermon. Why, you know where he wants to choose. He wants to go back to his synagogue where he grew up. And I can hear the rabbi as he stands. And as he says, folks, he says, this is Jesus of Nazareth. He grew up here. We're so glad to have him back. Are we proud that one of our own young men is a preacher and he's come back to speak for us in the synagogue today? And Jesus stood. And this is about what he said. He said, folks, remember the Old Testament? You taught me when I was a boy. Remember the toll about someday a Messiah would come? Yes. Remember, folks, you taught me that Messiah would be virgin born? Yes. Remember you taught me that someday that God himself would come in the flesh? Oh, yes. And these Jews said, and he's still coming. We're looking for him. Yes, we are. And Jesus said, remember the Old Testament? Every time we offer a lamb, it pointed to the coming of the Messiah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Remember every time we had a holy day, it pointed to the coming of the Messiah? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Remember how every time we had a special season, it pointed to the Messiah? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Jesus said, folks, hold on, you see. I got an announcement to make to you. And they sat to listen to their young preacher boy, whom they were so proud. And Jesus said, I'm he. I'm he. And the rabbi stood up and said, that's blasphemy. How dare you say you're God? That's blasphemy. in his own synagogue where he had grown up in his own hometown. The citizens of his own hometown took him out to the edge of the city and out the edge of Nazareth. There's a big old place called the Hill of Precipice. And they took him out on that hill and threw him down off the hill and kicked him out of the synagogue and kicked him out of his hometown. You say, what was he doing? Just making a payment. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He's making the payment, an installment on our ransom. Next payment, or one payment, was made on the Mount of Olives. He went to pray. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, rejected, hated, despised, chastised. And on the Mount of Olives, he begins to pray. He looks out over the city. His father, he said, how often would I have gathered Jerusalem as a hen would gather little chicks, as a mother eagle would put her wings over her own. And he said, the foxes have holes and the birds have their nests. The Son of Man has no place. Did you ever stop to think about that? For 3 years, he had no bed in which to sleep. For 3 years, he had no house that could protect him from the elements. For 3 years, he had no family that could encourage his heart. For 3 years, despised and rejected of men. You say, why? Why? He's making the payment on our salvation. The ransom to the Lord. The ransom was being paid. And then I come to that little room on the second floor where he gathered his disciples around him, and he said, fellas, I'm going to leave you. And Thomas said, where are you going? How do you know the way? And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. And as he looked at the disciples, he knew that soon, in just a few hours, he knew the kiss of betrayal replaced upon his brow by one of the 12 who sat at the table. He knew in just a few hours his chief disciple would curse and deny that he belonged to Jesus. He knew that in just a few hours he'd be taken to the high priest and on to Pilate and on to Herod and back to Pilate. He knew that in just a few hours that lovely back on which he was carrying the load and burdens of the world, he knew that back he pierced with a cat of nine tails. He knew that in just a few hours he'd carry a cross up Golgotha until he bent beneath the load, and Simon of Cyrene would come and carry it the rest of the way. He knew they'd put that cross up between heaven and hell, and he knew that soon, in just a few hours, he would bear the sins of all the world. He knew he'd become a drunkard for drunkards, and a harlot for harlots, and a thief for thieves, and a beggar for beggars, and a robber for robbers, and a sinner for sinners. He knew that God would turn his back on him, and he'd cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He looks out at his 12, and he says, fellows, I'll tell you something. I believe him, but he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I want to come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And he sat at the table. And then he put the water and the basin and girded himself with a towel and his own precious hands that soon were to bear the nails of Calvary, reached down and wiped the feet of sinful men. And then they sung a hymn. What did they sing? I don't know. Did they sing, on a hill far away? Still, I don't know. Did they sing, must Jesus bear the cross alone? I don't know. Did they sing, there is a fountain? I don't know. Did they sing, Jesus? I don't know. But they sang a hymn. And he went out to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples were sleeping. And Judas Iscariot came and placed the kiss of betrayal. How awful to use a loving expression such as a kiss. And with that, the soldiers come and carry him away. What was he doing? He is making another installment on the price of redemption. The ransom of the Lord. We don't sit here this morning because we're good. We sit here because the ransom has been paid. We don't sit here this morning because we're holy. We sit here this morning because the ransom has been paid. You sit for the house. I know. Lord heaven. The devil got us.
And the devil said, you have to pay the price of hell to get them back to me.
I used to think that, but that's not true. It wasn't the devil that had us. It was the righteousness of God that had us. And the holiness of God said to Jesus, I've got to have payment. I've got to do it. Unless somebody pays for the sins of mankind, I can't forgive man in no way. And the justice of God said, I've got to have payment. But the mercy of God said, I want man back. But the holiness said, I can't take him back unless the price is paid. But the love of God said, okay, if I offered my son, would that be okay? And the holiness of God said, that's exactly the only thing that'll ever do. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God gave his son. And when Jesus died on Calvary, the justice of God and the mercy of God kissed each other. And now his justice is satisfied and his mercy is satisfied. And there's a way that God can take us back to himself. A payment was made. And Jesus heard Peter curse and deny him. You belong to them?
Blankety-blank, I'm not one of them. But your accent betrays, I don't care, I'm not one of them. Well, aren't you with Jesus? I'm not with Jesus. Well, aren't you one of his followers? I'm not one of his followers. Blankety-blank, I'm not one.
The heart of Jesus was pierced just like it's pierced when you don't stand up for him at your work or at your school. And he was making a payment. And then 39 stripes on his back. That big long whip that had one handle and 39 whips on one handle and little hunks of lead along the way like a little staple that we'd call a staple on the way. And they bent that lovely back over and they took that back and lashed it 39 times. Can you imagine how many thousands of times a nail-like piece of metal hit him across the back? And they beat him until Isaiah said they couldn't even tell he was a human. Somebody walked by and said, is that an animal you're beating there? What is it? An ox? What is it? A cow? What is it? A horse? No, it's a human. They couldn't even tell. And there's the bloody back of our Savior, beaten beyond recognition.
You say, why?
He's making a payment. Making a payment. And then the cross. And then they made him as a mock king. They put an old robe on him, old overcoat, and made like that was a royal robe. They gave him a soldier's walking stick and made that like that was a scepter. And they put a crown of thorns on his head and played like that, like a child would play church. Or like a bunch of kids. Kids would play cowboy and Indian. A bunch of kids would play baptizing. And they played king. And Jesus was their play king. That old barred overcoat they put over his body and that old walking stick they had for a scepter. The crown of thorns they pulled down his brow as the blood pierced his brow. And they put a sign, a hand-painted sign. The King of the Jews. This is the King of the Jews. And there's the King of Glory, with no throne but a cross, with no crown but a crown of thorns, with no scepter but a walking stick, not bejeweled but cut up.
And no royal sign but a hand-painted sign, and no subjects but a jeering mob. And Jesus said, I could call more than 12 legion of angels if I wanted to. Why didn't he?
Making an installment. Just making an installment. His mother was watching him. One little line, the Bible says the mother of Jesus was standing there. Mother's Day. If you want to know something about Mother's Day, Calvary was Mother's Day. Jesus said, John, take care of Mama. Mama, you go to John now. I'm going to the grave. I'm bidding my soul into hell. And Mary saw that body that once had been in her womb. She saw blood coming from those hands that once had patted her on the cheek. She heard the cry, I thirst, come from those little lips that used to say, I love you, Mommy. She saw those little feet that she had taught to walk for the first time
as their piercing hands in that little side that she had bathed as a mother so many times pierced with the spear. She saw that back many times she had patted in encouragement. She saw it beaten beyond recognition. What's going on there? He's making an installment. The ransomed of the Lord. That's what we said here this morning. The ransomed of the Lord.
We are that which was bought back. The ransom was paid, started.
But God the Father in His own heart before the foundation of the world said, I'll give my son if I have to. And then he opens his mouth for the fourth time. A while ago he said, my God, my Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. A while ago he said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. A while ago he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But now he opens his mouth. Shh. Lama. Lama. Elah Samachthani. Which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can't comprehend that. I can't understand that. I can't understand how a father could forsake his own son.
I can't understand how God the Father could turn his back on Jesus and the Godhead
be divided. Jesus says, oh God, he couldn't even say my Father. He never called him God before. It always been Father. But now he's not his Father.
I mean, the sonship of Christ was obliterated
there on the cross.
And the fatherhood of God upon Jesus was completely canceled
there on the cross for a moment. Jesus couldn't say my Father. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And dipped his own soul into hell. And as soon as he got back from hell, he cried, it is finished! That which was started in Genesis 3:15
is finished! That which was started when God killed the first sacrifice and brought the lamb covering to Adam and Eve is finished. That which was started when the little animals bleated their last sound and the son of those fluttered their wings for the last time as offerings, that which was started in the mind of God when God said, I love the world so much, I'll give my son. And that payment was made, the first payment, and that which was started in the mind of a loving God is now finished.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And that's what it means when it says, the ransom of the Lord. How shall we escape